And welcome to episode 150 of the Talking Talkie podcast. Today I am joined by Tom.
Good afternoon. Hello.
And Matt.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello. How are you both doing?
I'm all right. I hope Tom's all right. Tom's all right?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah. Excellent. Very glad we're nearly at the weekend.
Yes, well, we are. But before we talk about next weekend, we should probably talk about last weekend. So we were all at the game, actually. What did we think? There's been a lot going on, hasn't there?
There has. It was quite an atmosphere on Saturday. It was a very late decision to make the journey down after being in the Midlands for a couple of days. However, considering what all the happenings that were happening around Playmore and the club, it was kind of a must-attend game, I think, just to be around, and because who knows how many more of these we may have. So it was a good atmosphere. It was a good game. Avely are a very good side. We know that from when they obviously beat us at the beginning of the season. But good to see that they've maintained that level, because you kind of thought these smaller part-time teams that have come up into this league would soon drift off as the season kind of progressed. But not the case with Avely, because they're still up fighting. Whether they want to go up to the National League, I think, is another question. But very good side. I was quite pleased at the game. Strike partnership with Jarvis and Ash is finally back together. So hopefully that continues. And it was just all around a much more positive time watching Torquay United, because it has not been that for the last however many months, to be completely honest.
8 years, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Turned up. It was nice to be back in and among something without too much of a spectre hanging over us. I mean, look, we've jumped out of the frying pan, and it remains to be seen. We'll find out fairly swiftly, I would think, in the next week or so, whether we've jumped into the fire, into another frying pan, into the sink, onto the floor, down the waste disposal, who knows. There's all sorts of options for us at the minute, so we'll find out. But it was a little bit sort of, people have compared it, the atmosphere and being there and that, to the Notts County game. That's sort of true, except kind of Notts County was a bit of a first return after COVID, and those were, I think the phrase we kept using for 2 or 3 years was unprecedented times, wasn't it? So, they were obviously a situation all of their own. We're certainly not out of the woods yet, but it's a net good thing that Osborne's gone. And you could tell that from the way that everybody was at the ground. There are still some boils to be lanced. Messrs. Edwards and Johnson's gone. But potentially Mel Heyman as well. But, certainly everybody connected with the previous regime is either gone or on their way out. And that showed in the way the crowd was, some of the chants that were levelled at the director's box, particularly when it went a bit quiet.
I wonder who did those.
I don't know. I'd pass. I'm not taking responsibility for that. Some of the best singing I've ever done. It was amazing. I got in there as well. Overall, net positive in terms of the atmosphere and the support and whatnot. On the pitch, I was very pleased. I'm always pleased when Ash and Jarves, either together or separately, score goals, because Tommy Kay, chairman of the Proud Gulls, he is chasing, was it 40 goals, I think he wanted, between the two of them. And incredibly, despite as useless as we've been, and the fact that they've been out for half the season, the fact that Brad Ash is nowhere near as good as we thought he was, he's like 60% of the way there or something between the two of them. So I'm kind of rooting for him to get it now. So I'm always pleased when they score. Couple of sort of decent-ish goals. A disaster class from your man, Marshall. I know he didn't give away the penalty, but he was the one who tried to
clear the ball.
On the edge of his own box, under pressure, with 8 seconds of the half left to go. Just go punt that ball out. Put it out for a corner if you have to. Don't.
Something, yeah.
And if nothing more obvious either, we managed for the first time all season to look like a professional team, i.e. we were 2-0 up, the board had gone up, we knew we just had to see the half out, Avely was sitting off, so we were just passing the ball around at the back. And then somehow we still managed to give away a penalty with 2 seconds of the half to go. And it just, like, oh, you can
The
take,
talky way, isn't it?
you cannot take the Johnson effect out of the club. Just ridiculous. So yeah, that was daft. And then Avely's equaliser. I've seen it on the highlights since. I thought live that Halstead hadn't made much of an effort to get it. And to be honest, the highlights haven't really changed my mind. The bloke is like 30 odd yards out and he
Yeah.
did rifle it in. He sort of looped it in. And I'm a bit disappointed that a goalie of whatever size Mark Halstead is, and he's had 10 minutes to see it, hasn't managed to fingertip that round the post. So, but there it
I
is.
mean, in defense of Mark, he did have the sun in his eyes. But,
We had a hat
well, he
on,
didn't have
so
his
we
cap
should have
on.
had the
Did he have his
sun.
cap on? Oh, I didn't
Yeah.
notice that.
So we shouldn't have had the sun in his eyes, but there you go. And then was it, what's his name? Jude Arkell or whatever he's called, missing that header from 2 yards out. And
Yes.
all he had to do was not head it straight at the goalkeeper. So he headed it
Yeah.
straight at the goalkeeper.
Try it again. Yeah.
It's a game that we should have won, and potentially 6 weeks of stability from now, maybe we would have won.
Yeah.
But everybody's head is all over the place, and it must be the same
Yeah.
for players. So it is understandable. But in the end, as good as Avely were, and I thought they were fairly good, I was a little bit disappointed that we only got a point, which is certainly progress, considering how awful we've been for the last 3 years or whatever it is.
It did feel like better football, I think, or slightly more freeing. I don't want to liken it to when teams have secured relegation and then they start playing much better than they did all season. But it's sort of a little bit like that, maybe because of everything that's been going on. I think virtually every Torquay fan turned up thinking it was a free hit. If Avely had won, which I think some of us maybe even expected at the beginning, nobody would have been that upset. It wouldn't have been great, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of mitigation. But they did seem to be playing with you could see they were all trying. I know that sometimes it's been leveled at them over the course of the season thus far that maybe they haven't been trying as hard as they could. What are they doing in training, blah blah blah. But they seemed a little bit more coherent. It seemed like slightly more engaged football. And I think it was probably better, if not freer, football.
Yeah, I think after watching Farnborough, was that the same week or was it? I've lost track of time. I think it was the Tuesday before, wasn't it? That was a completely different tempo of football and ability. We're actually making successful moves and passes between players, which wasn't happening before. And whether that is because a weight has been lifted from the manager, previous manager, no longer being around, and you kind of wonder how much of an impact he had on the confidence of the players in terms of it constantly being negative. And then Saturday, as you say, it was a free. There was the I think for many fans, the result on Saturday didn't matter.
No.
Nobody really cared that much about whether it was a point, 3 points, or no points at all. It was just to be there to kind of enjoy watching football and to kind of show that Torquay United hasn't got some potential for any folk around that wish to spend £1 million plus a year on us.
Yeah, Jesus. And it is spend as well. It's not invest. I always quite like the idea
No.
that we're seeking investors. Investment is giving away money on the hope of getting a return. That's not what's happening here. Like, you've got to have £1 million a year to blow. And that's fine. Because if it's £1 million a year to blow on coke and hookers, or I don't know, whatever your hobby is, but if your hobby is the worst professional football team in the entire world,
Yeah.
then Great. There's somebody out there, there's a fetish for everybody, and somebody must have a giving away their hard inherited or stolen or whatever money to watch 11 idiots in yellow rush around for an hour. Somebody must want to do that. And if you're out there, if you're among our listenership, please get in touch.
I mean, I'd like to interject with one particular owner of another club in recent years who clearly had a habit of the aforementioned substance.
Oh yeah.
We would not like you. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Templin, if you're listening on the
Oh,
if you can get this podcast in your prison cell or wherever it is you're holed up to avoid the police.
he's on the run, isn't
I
he?
think he is on the run. Yeah, so
Is he? Wow.
wherever he is, if you're in it, where did they find Saddam Hussein? In a culvert in Iraq. If you're in a culvert in Iraq and you can get this podcast, Mr. Billericay, do not risk
We
your
don't want
safety and freedom and liberty by coming back to try and buy Torquay. You can stay away. Everybody else is welcome. So yeah, I mean there are, while we're on the subject, I suppose there are all sorts of rumours about Pete Masters, naturally, and the Port Vale guy, Smurthwaite. I don't think that's a goer personally. I just don't think he's the
Things
right
being
man.
thrown.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a CV among
Right.
the football world, and I don't know really if he's the right guy for a club like us. If we were a bit more stable, maybe, but I can't really see him being the guy for us.
I think it would be quite nice for maybe the local sports company Pro Direct. They've got money to spend, haven't they?
Yeah, they Sports Direct. I don't know if they've got the money, but the guy apparently who owns the range that was started in Plymouth or Newton Abbot.
Ah, yeah.
And he's a million years old, but he's got billions of pounds, as you'd imagine. I'd be a bit disappointed if we couldn't at least get the range as a front shirt sponsor. Do you want to give us 100,000 this year to get us to the end of the season and you can
Yeah.
sell the shirts for free next year or whatever? That might be a nice thing to do, but somebody will want us. I've said all along that we are an attractive prospect. I mean, local to me, if you want to talk about Rochdale and not have to mention George Galloway, they got in trouble and were purchased. It wasn't even like they, expressions of interest. They've been purchased already by some yank with a load of money. It took about 48 hours. I'm really not being funny, but are we honestly, for a quid, are we really that much less attractive than Rochdale over the year? Bearing in mind that I've watched us play Rochdale in League Two
Yeah.
about 20 times,
Yeah.
somebody out there must want a club that is two divisions below its natural level and is only there because it's been run by the kind of bloke who can spend 6 million quid in 8 years and achieve a net result of, I think, one league place, a complete idiot. So,
Yeah. A clown.
I'm not overly worried personally about our immediate existential being. I think we'll still have a club to support.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned our Danish millionaire who's interested, with his
Yeah.
picture lifted directly off some Saudi suit website or whatever it was. He's obviously clearly really up for it.
It's very lazy because it's obviously somebody that I reckon it's somebody we know.
Playing a yeah,
Yeah,
playing one on, yeah.
I think it must
I
be.
mean, you just had to look at his list of followers, and you go, yeah, this isn't some CEO of a sort of Danish
Yeah,
or whatever.
14 followers on, yeah, which is, very funny. Very funny, but only because we're probably, I think, probably going to be all right in the short and long term.
I know all the messaging coming out of the club. I know that they, like any, anybody trying to sell something will try and create demand, but they do seem to be suggesting that there is demand, that there are people who are coming in for conversations. And I know that we've had a bit of a rough time with some of the messaging and the social media from the club recently, but they do really seem to have turned that on its head in the last week or so. So it's probably worth giving that message at least the benefit of the doubt, and it sounds promising if nothing else.
Yeah, it's quite refreshing what's been coming from the club in the last week or so, isn't it? Just the attitude that's, whether it's people have finally got, there's been these comments, the shackles have come off and they can just do their jobs and probably what they're qualified to do but haven't been allowed to do in the past. And I mean, showing by one particular Twitter user who's now been unblocked by the club, it's a good movement forward, I think. And hopefully it sticks around with whoever comes in next. They allow the team and the staff of the club just to do what they do best and communicate effectively and tell us what's going on and ask for the support when they need it, and the fans will be there.
Yeah, and I think it's really important because we've alluded to it in previous podcasts, but for a number of fans, for many fans who have had, a long-standing relationship with Torquay, this season has been the straw that's broken the camel's back, and they've taken a step back, and they've felt, for one reason or another, I don't think he'd mind me saying, he was very sort of open about it at the time, but for example, Ben, who was really upset at the time, the way they came about mentioning the season ticket holders pricing not changing, and it was almost like they were doing us a favor despite the fact we'd gone down. And I know that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and various other things that have happened over the course of the more recent history have really upset a number of fans. And I think that the turnaround in communication, I mean, it's twofold. I think lots of people, upon hearing the news, came out of the woodwork to go, you know what, no, this, everything that's come to this point, I will kind of clean slate. I'll go to the club, I'll support the club, I'll do what I can because I'd rather have a club than not. But then also, the way they seem to be communicating and engaging is almost maybe like a concession on their part that this hasn't been handled very well in the past. And I think that this open communication and engaging with people on Twitter, and we've seen them sharing various different stories of people doing things, Sam Swanee being on the news, they'd replied to him and all the rest of it. It's building bridges again, and hopefully goes a long way towards helping those people who have taken a step back, rightfully, to become reintroduced to the club and understand that actually Torquay United can be the family-friendly, fun-loving club that lots of people knew it to be previously or always hoped it could be.
Yeah, we've wondered for ages about whether Osborne's plan was to sort of run the club into the ground and convince the council that we didn't need the ground because, we were in the bloody dog and duck league and we were playing Newton Abbot Spurs in front of 13 people. So we might as well let him have the ground or whatever. Or whether he was going to sort of do the opposite, take up the divisions and go, look, there's 5,000 people a week in League One and they want to come and, they need a bigger ground, somewhere to park, whatever. And I think now we've seen that actually the three, incredibly, three social media people that we've got at the club, Jess, I think she's called, the guy who looks, if it's not an uncharitable thing to say, like Uncle Fester from whatever film that is, and Don Mee, who's a nice guy. For some reason, a club of the Scotland Nine back room members of staff, three of them were social media people, and we simply refused to engage with anybody on social media, which is just preposterous. So, there's those things have happened. They have now changed, and it seems as though it wasn't the monkeys, it was the organ grinder that was Edwards that was refusing to allow them to even engage with fans on the most rudimentary level. So it seems as though that is a little bit instructive as to what the overall plan was for, disengage the fan base, get them to stop coming, show that the club isn't viable, shut it down, and build a load of depressing flats on Playmore. So I know I've never been more glad to see a plan fail. Maybe other than when Mr. Burns was going to block out the sun, and he ended up getting shot by Maggie. Shot by Maggie Simpson. I'm sorry if that gives away the ending of who shot Mr.
A
Burns for those of
spoiler,
you
yeah,
who haven't
absolutely outrageous. We're being cancelled.
seen. Yeah, spoiler
About
alert.
25 years old, but it's fine, yeah.
But yeah, I was quite pleased when Mr. Burns didn't get to do that, and I'm a little bit more pleased actually that as I may or may not have tweeted, I am still at Torquay United, and Clark
Yeah.
Osborne is not. And that was always my thing, was that if there was a club, I would be here. And I know I'm not in any way unique in that it was just kind of pig-headed stubbornness that it didn't matter where we were, I would keep being that one guy who turned up, like that one, there's always one holdout in a block of flats that the developer wants to knock
Yes.
down and rebuild. There's always one
Yeah.
hole,
The
I
house in the middle of the
particularly
M62.
UN62, man.
yeah, the end
Yeah.
of the 62, that kind of thing. I was going to be that
Yeah.
belligerent farmer. I am people capable of being that belligerent, so I'm pleased that two have won for me, and the 3,500 other people who were there to have won that fight, which is nice.
Yeah, it was a really good atmosphere, and I think something else that's quite nice is obviously, from a organizational point of view, the club are engaging on social media on its outreach again with its communication, which is great. But they seem to have obviously picked up on so much of the unrest along the way. The sort of wording of statements now being, your club, which is what everyone was saying previous. So I think the message was getting through. There was just no function to respond to a lot of it beforehand, which, is not the individual's fault. I think we've said all along that throughout all of this, players get out and do a job, backroom staff get out and do a job, and by backroom staff, I mean the wider, community of Torquay, the groundsmen, the media teams, the catering, the whole lot. But there were problems at virtually every avenue. And it seems like it's been very freeing in many ways for one particular person to have left the club, maybe two, and well, two have left, but I don't know which was causing the problems outright, is what I mean. And for it to be a breath of fresh air, it was really nice to see how the fan base corralled around on Saturday. Everyone seemed in good spirits. It was very busy. It was nice.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed being at a busy Playmore again. I was spoiled in my
Yeah.
first season, which was 2004, in League One, 5,000 people a week. You couldn't move where I stand on the pop side. It was great. And that was pretty much what it was like again
Yeah.
on Saturday. So that's what the club can be. We can get What would we have been getting in that COVID season if it hadn't been for COVID when we were at the top? I mean, we'd have been getting those sorts of numbers every single week.
Yeah.
So,
Easily. There's
yeah.
people in Torquay and Torbay that want to watch football. You just have got to make it easy and attractive for them to come and do it. And yeah, as you say, it was typical that the only season we were bloody good, none of us could go
Yeah,
and
you are.
watch.
You couldn't write a more Torquay thing, could
No.
you? The old the voiceover from Premier League years doing the whole, it was a good season for Torquay, unfortunately. The global pandemic got in the you're joking. A global pandemic. Come on now. No one's buying Spielberg and get this script and go, no, I'm not making that. It's rubbish. Nonsense.
I think for me, the only other thing I'd kind of add to this part of the conversation, at least, is just how interesting it was, upon that toxicity of one individual being removed, like how much the club means to everyone. Comparatively, look at the attendance figures for the community days that used to be run previously, where they were literally giving free tickets to students and various other students, young children, whatever they were focusing. And attendance numbers were still nothing like as high as they were on Saturday. And it's not, it's literally in spite of the people who have been at the helm for the last few years. You've tried, and actually people will continue to care about their club regardless. So thanks, but no thanks.
See you later. You can shut the door on your way out, kind of thing. Particularly George Edwards. Disappear, please. Go.
The sooner you could leave, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only shame of that really is that he will leave quietly. He will go quietly into the night, and one day he just won't ever turn up at Playmore again. As we've alluded to earlier, lots of us made our feelings known. He knows. We told him at Hampton and Richmond, we told him on Saturday, he will just disappear. We've been telling Johnson for the last however long, you know, few months, which any other fan base would have been telling him for the last 3 years, but we've been telling him throughout the last 3 months that it's not good enough, and he sort of slunk off and we'll never see him again. So, you know, we won't get quite the vitriolic victory that we would want of being able to literally, you know, tie him up, tar and feather him, put him on the back of the first train out of town. But he will go, and ultimately we'll get what we wanted, which was always for him to leave and for the club to still exist and for all of us to still be here. So we'll win the war. We just won't win it in quite the way we wanted to, which is sort of, it's fine by me, but it is slightly less fun than some of the other ways that we could have won it, that would, you know, mentioning of which might get me sent to prison. So
I think some of the publicity of this might, maybe with any luck, stop to particular charlatans ever being able to do this to another club of any sporting variety again, though. And I think obviously Torquay still being here is what matters most, but as a secondary, that's really important as well, that they can't do it again to anyone else with any luck.
Don't take any interest from a company called Gaming International if you're another football club or
It
sporting venue, whatever.
does not matter what they offer you, it will be too good to be true. It will seem too good to be true, but take my word for it. It will.
And ultimately, they're offering you the two options that you have, or the option that you are trying to avoid anyway, which is the death of your club. That's what they bring to the table, just slow and painfully.
Yeah, that's just it. We've got a game on
I was going to
Saturday.
say, should we, I feel like I've really brought the mood down. Should we talk about Saturday? Something else, happy instead. Think we've got
Let's do
Weymouth,
it.
haven't we?
We have, like another coastal town. I've been to Weymouth. I've never been to the football club there before. So should be good. Should be a good, another good atmosphere given their fantastic, I think it's probably the right word, gesture to Torquay Supporters Trust. Obviously, I don't know how many tickets have sold, but they've given us 1,800. So if we could sell all those tickets and get a good 1,000 people in, I've forgotten the name of their stadium, but if we get them there, then it'll be a brilliant 90 minutes of football. Hopefully, seeing a good result for Torquay. I don't know. I can't remember what our result against Weymouth at home was. I think we beat them 3-1. You're going to correct me, maybe.
Hello.
No.
Anyway, keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. But they did draw against St Albans on Tuesday night, 3-3. Obviously, St Albans beating us, or kind of whacking us by four a couple of weeks ago. So it would be a tough game, I think. I don't think they're going to roll over, but I think hopefully with the atmosphere and the fans going down in their numbers, it will give the boys in yellow a bit of a boost, and we can take the 3 points and then and keep this positive momentum for the rest of the season.
Yes, we did beat them 3-1. You're quite right. Of Brett McGavin. Oh, of Brett McGavin. 4 minutes in, probably a banger, don't know. Brash on 31. So we were 2-0 up, and then all we had to do was see it out to half time. And then in the 41st minute, we did something stupid. We conceded a goal.
Excellent.
I can't get the lineup, so I don't know if Marshall was playing, but it was probably his fault. And then Collins made it 3-1, and then they had a man sent off. You know, Mr. Brooks was sent off. Unsubstantiated reports that it was country and Western superstar Garth Brooks. It probably wasn't. So he went off in the 81st minute. Their last handful of results. The real game was the year we were good. We went 2-0 up, 3-0 up after about 8 minutes, and we looked unreal. And they spent their social media and the commentators and that on the game spent the whole match going, this is the team that are going to win the league by a country mile. And this was in like November. They're going, oh yeah, this is a team that are going to win the league by a country mile. They're just going to steamroll over. They're so good. And they got it back to bloody 3-all, didn't they? And I think the Lemon scored really late on to pinch 3 points for
Yes.
us in that in traditional Gary
Yeah,
times,
Gary time. Yeah.
which was quite remarkable. But like you, I've been to Weymouth, but I don't think I've been to the football club. Just a quick check of their last few results. They went on a little bit of a run in January to late mid-Jan to early Feb. They won four on a trot. They beat Slough, Taunton, Dartford, and Hemel Hempstead. Not exactly the luminaries of the division. They
Yeah, but
then
all that have
played,
beaten us this season.
well, yeah, they then played Chelmsford in the last 1-0. They played nine man Worthing and lost 4-1. They played
Wow.
Hampton Richmond and lost 4-2, and they drew 3-all with St Albans. So it looks like they sort of get beaten by the good teams and they have a bit of a go at the rubbish teams. I have absolutely no idea if we're any good or if we're rubbish, because
No.
obviously it's Johnson is gone and the king is dead, long live the king and all that. So who knows? Bloody hell, that'll be our first win since the 20th of January if we win tomorrow, over a month. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. The ninth attempt to win a game.
Who did
We've
we beat on the 25th of January?
Dover 1-0 at
Oh,
home.
shit.
And since drawn with Chippenham, Aveley, and Farnborough, and lost to Worthing, St Albans, Maidstone, Slough, and Braintree.
It's really been that bad, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's this year
Yeah.
astonishingly bad. What were we about third or something when we beat Dover?
Yeah.
And we're now
Second.
16th, second, and we're now something like 16th. In even more depressing news, because of the way the games are, I think if Yeovil win their next two, no matter what we do, we cannot win the league.
Okay, good for you, Oval. Crack
I
on. See
was
you later.
not, yeah, it wasn't really about Yeovil, it was more about us, but I was not expecting that to be the case
No.
with 10, 12 games to go, whatever it is. So that's a bit depressing, but yeah, they are Weymouth, our 17th. They've got a minus seven goal difference and 42 points. We are 11th. We've got a minus three goal difference and 47 points. So there's a fag paper between the clubs.
Yeah, it's
That's
going to go either way, couldn't it?
yeah. So it remains to be seen. Unfortunately, I'm not Joe Pope. I've no idea how managers set teams up or teams, individuals play. I know fuck all about Weymouth, other than it's a nice seaside town on the Jurassic Coast. So you can go, not spelunking. What do I mean? Not fossiling. What's it called? Where you go and collect rocks to
What, for
find.
ammonites and things?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the word is for it, but
Hello, P thinks you
it's.
might know. I see. No, she's written down a word that is not the answer at all.
Okay.
So yes, you can go and collect fossils on the beach and then get an ice cream, go to the game, watch us spank Weymouth 1-all, and then head home happy on a 4.5 hour train journey to do 76 miles.
Yeah, that's bonkers, isn't it?
Nuts,
Yeah,
right?
it is Brad Ashe's return to Weymouth, so it'll be nice for him to go home if it is his home. Obviously, he came from Weymouth at the beginning
Oh
of the
yeah,
season,
where
didn't
he
he? So,
got, about 130 goals last season or something.
yeah.
And yeah, okay.
So maybe he just has to score in that Weymouth stadium. Maybe that's been the problem.
Oh
He's
yeah,
been
maybe
taken
that's,
out.
yes. Maybe that's
Yeah.
what it is. He just knows something about the goal. He knows that one of the goals
There's a
is
dip,
offside or
yeah.
something. No one's noticed. He's like, right, just aim every shot there. And oh yeah, maybe that's it. Okay, get your money on a Brad Ashe hat trick then. Do you have any kind of, I mean, it's so difficult. Who fucking knows? Any idea?
I would like to go for three another repeat of the home game, 3-1 Torquay.
Okay, fine. I think I'm gonna have to lay in my one all bed, aren't I? Because I've said it now. P.
I'm gonna say 2-1. I don't want to be too mean because they're being very, very nice to us. But if we could win 2-1, that'd be even nicer.
That would be lovely. Yeah, give us
It
50
would
points
be,
and probably see us safe. What a thing that to have to say about a professional club in this division, Jesus. Oh, right, a times you're ahead. It doesn't matter. This season's a write-off. Get through it. Get a new owner in. Sign a load of players. We'll be beating Wrexham and Notts County in League One 3 years from
in
now.
no time. Yeah.
Going to be a hell of a journey to go on, and I'm going to have to
Can't
retract
wait.
what I said about money ruining lower league football, where other teams have had it. I'm going to have to be a real hypocrite. I'd be like, no, I didn't mean any of that. It's absolutely
Yeah, not no
brilliant.
hypocrites.
Yeah, I really enjoy it when teams come in the non-league south and pay 10 grand a week to championship strikers. I think it's an excellent ploy. Yeah,
Yeah.
good on you, lads. It's what every team can do. And if you don't like it, well, you're just salty, unlucky, sour grapes. Okay, that's on record now as well. That's a bit of a bummer, isn't it?
Ask yourself.
Is there any? I don't think I've got any other business, which is a bit of a bummer.
I don't think so. I think the only thing I was going to say, and Tom's kind of alluded to it, if you can purchase a ticket for the Weymouth game, £5 of every adult ticket purchase goes towards Torquay. Very generous donation from Weymouth. And they're also doing little We Stand Together or We Stand With You badges. Which I believe will have a donation tin next to them as well. So I know some people can't make the game, but might also be interested in obtaining those badges and stuff. So maybe reach out to any of your friends or family who are attending and they can pick them up for you. And it all helps both clubs ultimately, but us as well, which is quite important at the moment. Do you have anything, Tom?
The only one thing I've seen on social media is that a Devon Day has been announced
Oh
for the
yeah.
23rd of March, from Argyle Life podcast. I hope that's right. Who have kind of, because it's the international weekend, so they've kind of put it out there that for Argyle fans and Exeter City fans to come on down to play more. Show us some support. I see that the away terrace has been opened up, so that is a kind of, I think, a good indication of how many people are planning to come down. So it will be a very, very good atmosphere and one to attend. Unfortunately, I can't, but yeah, one to look out for, and hopefully the club does well in publicising it alongside Argyle and City, and we can get some money in and pay our players and our staff's wages.
On that note, I have literally this second just opened Twitter to see if I could find the name of the podcast, the Plymouth podcast that have tweeted that to confirm your suspicions. I think you are right. I haven't found that. But what I have found is the club in the last hour have tweeted about a quiz night in Boots and Laces
Oh.
on Sunday from 6 p.m. Now I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about it because they've called it TUAFC quiz night.
Ruined it.
Which
Look,
would
pick your battles at
yeah, look,
the
we'll win that leg.
moment.
My argument very much is there is no Torquay United Rugby Football Club, so it doesn't matter that you don't need to specify which code it is, whether it's association or rugby. There is no Torquay United Rugby Football Club, so it doesn't matter. You don't need to say. It's a tenner per team, maximum of four per team, so it's going to set you about £2.50, folks. Get your hands in your pockets. I know times are hard, but come on. A prize raffle with fun supporting the club. Happy hour prices on selected drinks until 7 p.m. So turn up Sunday the 3rd of March in Boots and Laces from 6 p.m. Do a quiz. When these used to be run by Andy Candy, they were really, really good. The live at Playmore events. No reason to believe they'd be any different now. It's just something, anything. Chuck your money in the tin. Have a nice evening. If you're going out for a beer anyway, go out for a beer at Boots and Laces. Answer a few general knowledge questions. Buy a raffle ticket. Go home happy. So that's probably something to plug fairly heavily.
And
Okay.
then actually one last thing. If you can't do things like that, you can't make the game, but you've got some cash burning a hole in your pocket. Don't forget that both the club have an official PayPal link that I think it's a PayPal link that you can donate via, and the Tust also have Their fundraising as well, which is going to the club. So both worthy causes and ultimately ending up helping the club pay wages, groundspeople's wages, the whole lot, keep the club functioning.
You know whose wages it won't be paying? This Twitter just immediately opens up all the any other business that we should have had prepared before we recorded. Dylan Silva has left to the
Oh,
disappointment
yeah.
about 40 people under the age of
12.
13.
Oh, yeah, all those poor mascots are going to be
Yeah,
devastated.
gutted, and the group in the group on the pop and in the away coach that just endlessly chant, "Oh, Dylan da Silva," when
Yeah.
he's not playing.
Their Sri Lankan flags have gone to waste.
Yes, yeah,
That's sad.
we'll never need those again, I wouldn't imagine. So yeah,
No.
he's gone. He's gone to play for Wealdstone. I want to meet his agent, because I'd quite like to audition for the position of Taylor Swift's husband. And I think if this guy can get both Corrie Andrews and Dylan da Silva moves to the division above us, then getting
Can do
me,
that. You remember the shot?
yeah, metaphorically and potentially
Oh
literally in bed
my
with Taylor Swift
God.
should be absolutely no problem for him at all. So if you're listening, sir, whoever you are, madam, whatever, give me a ring, please, because there's
Feel like
work for us
it's
to
too
do.
late for me to add a this is not PG rating. Yeah.
No, I think that's all right.
You've just stopped at the right point, Matt, I think.
Oh yeah, no, I have out loud, not in my mind's eye. I'm very much right.
There definitely can't be any more any other business now because you are just that's it, you're
Yeah,
off on a tangent.
very much. I am. Sorry, I can't concentrate on anything now. Right, no, I am done now. We've mentioned everything that we needed to mention. We've talked about everything we needed to talk about. We've had a go at all the people we needed to have a go at. So that's enough. No more talking from me. I'm done.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Tom, Thank you very
and
much.
thank you, Matt. And we'll be back sometime next week, I guess.